Right now on VFN TV, a woman is in her house. Somebody breaks in, knocks her door down, and charges after her child and her. Also, a man hears shootings taking place, and he finds out someone is shooting at his own church. Another man gets a call about his business, and people are stabbing, getting cut in their place. What's going on? We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about our duty as Christians. We're going to talk about the Constitution and how this all fits into Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Romans 13, 1 through 5, we always think about it in a certain way, but do we ever think about it in the context of if all authority is established by God, and the ones who are involved in establishing that authority that are there, they're God's servants to be able to function under the hand of God. That the United States Constitution is authority given to you by God. So the first 10, all of the Constitution, but the first 10 amendments to the Constitution is saying that you have this authority, the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and all the amendments that says specifically to the citizens of the United States of America as being a citizen. You have authority given to you by God. And we're going to talk about that today in regards to some tragedies that took place about how some citizens in America exercised their Second Amendment right to move in that God-given authority to protect people from mass slaughter and mayhem. It's a very tragic happenings, but I'm so glad that we had that authority given to us by God for somebody to stop the evil. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
When you think about this, I mean, look at Romans chapter 13, 1 through 5. Let's take a look at this. John, can you read that for us?
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval.
So when you think about this, so there's no authority established, which is not established by God. And so, I mean, God just spoke this to me as I'm just writing out this program. We're talking about it, that the Constitution says that you, as if you're an American citizen watching this, if you are a citizen of America, the Constitution is yours, and it says you have authority. The First Amendment to the Constitution says that you can talk about God all you want to. You can gather anywhere you want to gather. You can actually petition the government and say what your viewpoints against the government. You can't do this in other countries. We were just talking to a missionary. One of the places that he's been is in China. They will lock you up. They will abuse you, and they will even take your life for speaking what you can do as a citizen having the right in America.
That's right.
We have that right now. And so the Second Amendment is that you have the right to be able to have weapons, a weapon. You can arm yourself and you can defend yourself and you have the right to bear arms. As a matter of fact, John, what is the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States?
Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
So literally, based on Romans 13, 1 through 5, and the Constitution that says you, Washington, D.C. is there because the Constitution says they can be there. The authority says we can actually have a president, we can have a Congress, we can have a judiciary branch, but it says you are the citizen that actually allows that to happen. It's a government by the people and for the people. Okay, putting Washington aside, it says that you have the right to bear arms and possess arms. There's a reason why, because to be able to protect yourself and protect your nation and to protect people who want to take over our nation. And so I think about this. I think about, you know, April Evans. April Evans is a mother. She's a wife of a police officer, but her husband's at work. She's at home. You know, what you do, imagine being home with your child. Imagine being home with your child, and all of a sudden somebody's banging at your door trying to come in there, and you think the door is going to stop them. But they hit so hard, the door literally shatters and breaks, and they're coming into your house. What do you do? There's not enough time for a police officer. There's not enough time to, I mean, you got to protect yourself. Well, you know what she did? As a matter of fact, we'll let her tell you the story right now. This is April Evans telling you exactly what took place. Remember the Second Amendment.
Good My husband is a police officer, and he works night shift. One night, he was at work, and my daughter and I were home alone. Someone started banging so hard on the door, it broke in two places. He demanded that I let him in. I called 911, and I went to my room to get the gun. I heard a loud crash, and when I came out to the hallway to see, he was running towards me with a look in his eyes that I'll never forget. I shot him twice, and I held him at gunpoint until the police arrived. This event was something that changed my life. I've never been more afraid, but I've been standing strong, and I've told my story again and again because with each person I told, they stood a little taller knowing that if I could protect myself and my family, that they could too. Protecting my family would not be possible without the right to bear arms. It's an issue that's obviously close to my heart. If these rights had been taken from us, I may not be standing here today, and I may not have a healthy, now 6-year-old daughter. I'd like to thank you, Mr. President, for your unapologetic stance on our right to bear arms. I truly believe those rights saved my life and the life of my daughter that night. Thank you.
That's so powerful. You know, I was in law enforcement for almost 10 years. And when you call a police officer, they have to come from a distance. I mean, you got the phone call, you have the dispatcher calls the officer may be close, may not be close, has to drive, even with lights and sirens, still has to get there. Well, if they're breaking in your door, coming after you, you've got to be able to defend yourself. Well, guess what? You have the authority to defend yourself in America. You have the authority. I don't care what political people are saying. God said, Romans 13, 1 through 5, all authority is established by him, and that authority in America is the Constitution, and you have the right as a citizen of America to protect, like her case, April, her child and her life. And she's here today because she used the authority given her by God in the Second Amendment. I think of another situation where we talked about this on VFN TV. It was a tragedy. The previous administration prior to President Trump called this workplace violence, but it's much more than that. Based on reports, there was a particular man at a workplace, and he was trying to get people to convert to his faith in Islam, and they wouldn't convert. And so his response was to pull a knife out and literally start stabbing the fellow employees, and he beheaded a fellow employee. Imagine somebody in your office right now that says you got to convert to their faith, and if you don't convert to their faith, based on their text and their belief, it says you're going to be beheaded. Well, guess what? In America, we have rights of a citizen that you can stop that person. And what happened was this violence was going on. She was beheaded. The previous administration called that workplace violence. But despite that, he still had a right. The owner of this company, supervisor in this company, got a phone call. And he heard what was going on. And he took off trying to get to the place where it was happening. So it took a little bit to get there. I just got to, we'll let you listen, he is about to tell you. I'm not going to tell it. He will tell you what took place. Listen, this is your right as an American citizen to protect yourself. Let's listen right now to Michael Vaughn as he shares about what took place.
Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome all. I got a call late one Thursday afternoon while sitting at my office, a frantic call from our customer service group. Said an attacker with a knife was victimizing people in our office. I ran to my vehicle, ran the 100 yards to the other end of our complex. It was a very chaotic scene. Screaming, crying, blood everywhere. I immediately entered the building, ran down a hall. I immediately entered a building, ran down a hallway, and saw a man attacking a woman in the neck and head with a large knife. I yelled, he stopped, paused for a moment, and ran at full speed toward me. At about 18 feet, I fired 3 rounds for my AR-15 carbine. Immediately incapacitating the subject. He was a determined attacker. Unbeknownst to me, moments before, he had decapitated a coworker and had targeted several others in our operation to be attacked that day. I was able to take that action because I had a gun, and I was prepared to use it. These are central missions of the NRA, and I thank you, NRA, for that, and everyone here. We have but one true thing, one true mission before us today, and that's to come together like we never have before, to preserve our foundational freedom to bear arms in the defense of ourselves, those we love, those we seek to protect, and most importantly, our liberty. Lastly, I'd like to express gratitude. No other president in our lifetime has stood with us so strongly in defense of our Second Amendment rights. Thank you, Mr. President.
Could you imagine if this supervisor, this man who I believe owned the company or supervised the company, did not have a weapon to stop this man? When he showed up, the man was coming after him with a knife. How many more people would have been beheaded? One particular person was wounded at that point, was gouged in that particular area to be beheaded. Listen, there's nothing, the best thing when there's a bad man with a gun is a good man with a gun. When I was in law enforcement, what would happen was when somebody pulled a gun out that was a bad man, they would call us as police officers to come out because they wanted a good man or a good woman to show up with a gun. And guess what? It always worked. The people with the gun would stop, eventually stop. If they didn't stop, they would be stopped, and people accept that. Well, the Second Amendment gives you that right to protect yourself. And so I think about questions. I think about this. What does the Bible say about using a firearm to protect yourself? You know, what does the Bible say in regards to the Second Amendment in America? And thirdly, you know, do you have authority, according to scriptures, to be able to exercise the Second Amendment right? Well, we've answered that. You do. And I think about this. I want you to comment and share your thoughts about that. Put hashtag Second Amendment, you know, hashtag, you know, you think about President Trump is just supporting, you know, the Constitution. One part of the Constitution happens to be the Second Amendment, but just on our previous program, you saw it. He was protecting the First Amendment, which is having people come into the White House to pray, and which is, it's our rights. He's just saying the country belongs to the people. This is exciting day. So comment below, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com, but also follow us on Spotify. We just got on Spotify. Go there, click follow, go to iTunes or Google Play and rate our app. Download our app, listen to us, watch us on our app. It's a beautiful app. And also rate us. Give us five stars. And say something nice about John, you know?
Sure, why not?
I want to mention a couple things about the program. And what happens is it causes it to send it all around the world when you do that. You can evangelize maybe an entire family because you went there and rated that app and they began to download it and listen to it because they saw it come up, and it'll come up because you rated it. Think about it. That's powerful, isn't it?
That's
John,
amazing.
What's next?
Imagine you're sitting in your local church or your gathering and a gunman comes in and shoots up people in your church. This is what actually happened in Texas, and we're going to hear from Stephen Wilford as he just responded with the help of the Lord and took out this person who created massive carnage. You don't want to miss his story. It will inspire you and encourage you. Join us. We get right back.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out, and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 Strategies to Fight for Your Success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith in what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO, I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator, I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody knows needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why I'm writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl.
So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get your, it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We're going to send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600 yeah. wisdom nuggets in addition to these success strategies. It's yours now, vfnkb.com.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to vfntv.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at vfntv.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to vfntv.com. And we have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to vfntv.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to just say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to vfntv.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So you're sitting at home, you're on call, you have to do a lot of work at the hospital, and so you're trying to get your rest. I mean, you normally go to church, but you don't go to church this day because you're trying to rest because of your own call. But you live so close to the church that you go to, if something was to happen, you would hear. Then your daughter comes running to you and says, Dad, Dad, and kind of wakes you up and says, I hear gunshots going off. And he thinks, no, it's not gunshots. Then she goes and looks again, and she goes, she says, Dad, somebody's shooting at the people in the church. Somebody's shooting at the church. This actually happened in Texas. And Stephen Williford was there in the house. That's who the father was. And he responded, thank God for the authority that he's been given. He responded. He says the Holy Spirit came up, but he responded because he had rights to do that, the Second Amendment rights. Let's go. This is Stephen Williford sharing what took place.
I would like to thank first the NRA for this opportunity, and then I would like to thank our president for this opportunity. On November 5th, 2017, I was home because I was going to start my on-call at the hospital where I worked as an emergency plumber during on-call and could be called a lot. So I stayed home from church that day because I wanted to get rest. Wasn't to happen. My daughter came into my bedroom and said, "Dad, doesn't that sound like gunfire to you?" I ran to my window thinking it was someone tapping at the window, and she said, "No, come into the kitchen," where I immediately said, "It is gunfire." My daughter was an NRA distinguished expert when she was 8 years old. All three of my children, my other daughter and my son, were NRA distinguished experts by the time they were 8 years old. I was an NRA instructor. I ran to my safe, and my daughter ran outside, ran out to her car, got in the car, and ran reconnaissance for me. She ran up to the corner and came back while I was getting a gun out of my safe and loading it, and she said, "Dad, there's a man in black tactical gear shooting up the church." And I said, "Did you call 911? She said, "I did. They're aware of it." Right away, that told me police were coming, but I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait. Our police department in Wilson County has some of the best officers in this world, and they were racing as fast as they could, but my community couldn't wait for them. I ran out the door and I told my daughter to load another magazine for me because I gave her busy work. I didn't want her to be there if I failed. And I didn't want her to be there for a target for him. The Holy Spirit took over me at that moment. And as I ran across the street, I yelled out. The gunman heard me inside. So did some of the people from the church. So did my own daughter. He came running out of the church and started shooting at me. I put two shots, center mass. He stopped shooting at me, ran to his vehicle. The two shots, center mass, he had Class 3 body armor on. They made no difference. But when he ran and turned around his door to his vehicle, I put one in his side and one in his legs. He got in his vehicle. He put two more shots through the side window. I put one where I perceived his head to be and shot through the window. He took off and ran away down the street. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he's getting away. I ran out into the street, took one more shot that went through his back window, penetrated the driver's side seat and hit him just right of the left shoulder blade. He continued to run. I met up with a man that was just parked and watched the whole thing, and everybody in this world would have just driven on. But this is Texas. We aren't known for our sanity. I found out later his name is Johnny, and I got in the truck with Johnny and we gave chase. And at the end, the gunman, being the coward that he was, took his own life. Inside the church were more heroes than we can even talk about in a limited amount of time. But I'm here today to talk about the fact that I used my own AR-15 to confront a shooter that had dropped 15 30-round magazines in my church. He murdered 26 people and injured 20 more. There were only 7 people that walked out of that church without a gunshot wound. If it were not for our Second Amendment rights and the right to carry an AR-15, the same style gun that he had, then I would have been outgunned myself. And if it were not for God covering me and protecting me, I would not have been successful that day. I want to thank the NRA for being relentless in protecting our Second Amendment rights. And I would like to thank this president for defending the Second Amendment. And I would like to say today, he says, "Make America great again." And he's including you. You will make America great again with him. But he needs you, he needs your vote. And if you do not get out there and vote for this man, then it's on you. Thank you very much to the NRA, and thank you for President Donald Trump.
So you think about this. All but seven people came out without a wound. 26 people were murdered. They went to go exercise their First Amendment rights to worship God in Texas. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes in to their church with a gun, a bad man with a gun with evil intentions, taken over by satanic whatever, because Ephesians 6:12 says you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, had on his mind evil murder, and he began to shoot people innocently sitting probably in pews, you know, facing in one direction, just knowing that most people probably aren't going to be armed there. And he shot, killed 26 people, wounded 20 others, and seven of them didn't get any wounds at all. But you know what? If this citizen of America who had the authority under the Second Amendment and the Constitution and Romans chapter 13, 1 through 5, that God says he's established it, couldn't have exercised his right, everybody there would have been dead. Think about it. Everybody would have been dead. Lives were saved because there was a good man with a gun when a bad man with a gun showed up. The one who didn't need the gun was the bad man. The good man needed the gun. Those lives would be here today, but they're lost. Not only that, you lost mothers, fathers, brothers, sons. The pastor, I believe, lost his daughter there. I mean, it's just tragic, tragedy. But it would have been worse. And when more people are exercising their Second Amendment right, guess what? More evil people won't sit there and try to harm people. But you start taking guns away, these evil people always go to gun-free zones where people more than likely won't have a gun. Why? Because they're cowards. Yeah.
If you outlaw the guns, then the outlaws will have the guns.
That's who actually will have. And laws never did stop bad people from breaking them. Why? Because if a person murders, they weren't worried about the law that says, you know, the Ten Commandments that says thou shalt not commit murder, or the law that says you can't murder.
It's still, I mean, not stopping them.
The laws have been around. You can't steal, but people still steal.
Yeah.
It's only when you outlaw things like Second Amendment, then it's only the good people who obey laws who wouldn't have guns. So they would have been literally victims sitting in there and nobody to rescue them. Listen, this is so important. What are your thoughts? You know, comment below. This is very important because right now in America, people are wanting to take away the authority that God's given you as a citizen in this country to be able to worship freely and to be able to protect yourself and arm yourself. To worship God freely. That's the First Amendment and Second Amendment. It's the Constitution. It's the thing that gives you authority that says all authority is given to you by God. Guess what? God gave it. That's what that means. And somebody says, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Well, Jesus definitely, you know, was as a man of peace. But he's also King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he was ministering, he was calmly allowing people to do all these different things. But when he shifted things, he shifted it in Luke 22 through 35. Because he told everybody, you know, don't take anything for your journey. Basically, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, if somebody hits you in one cheek, turn the other cheek. But he did say in regards to protecting yourself, mm-hmm. you would think. What's he say right here in Luke? What's it? Luke 22, 35-38.
Jesus said to them, When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said nothing. He said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, here are the two swords. And he said to them, it is enough.
And that was the gun of that day. I want to pray with you, Lord. I pray a blessing over those that are watching, right? I pray for courage to exercise the rights that you've given them. Father God, I pray for those that live within the context of the law, Father God, that you've given us. And we pray with those families that lost loved ones. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says,
every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.